Good morning. Today's daf in Moed Katan is Yud Ches. When you're Zayin Amud Beis, we're towards the top of the Amud. You're Zayin Amud Beis. We have a little bit to make up this morning. The Mishnah taught us Nazir Mitzora Mitzuma Asala Tarasa. So various people who are allowed to shave and do laundry on Chol HaMoed, and so one of those people are, or two of those people are Nazir Mitzora, who have just gotten up from being tummy. So Nazir, if in fact he becomes tummy, so he has to go ahead and be Mitzora himself and then start the counting again. Mitzora. So as long as his Saras now is gone, so he goes through a Tahara process. And in both of those circumstances, if their Tahara concludes on Chol HaMoed or during Chol HaMoed, so they are afforded a heter in which they are allowed to both shave, get a haircut, and they are allowed to do the laundry as well. So that's where we opened up our third parak discussing. And the Gemara now is going to be asking some very straightforward questions. So, So as far as this heter is concerned, so are we discussing site where they literally had no time before the beginning of Chol HaMoed, i.e., they were going through the process at the beginning of Yom Tov, only to have conclude the process on Chol HaMoed itself? That's a simple way to say it. Or the other possibility of the Gemara is that, no, maybe no. Maybe they finished up before Yom Tov. So if they finish up before Yom Tov, don't they have a little bit of time before Yom Tov? Sure, they have a little bit of time before Yom Tov. But they also have a lot of Yom Tov preparation as well. Meaning maybe this particular dispensation is going to be extended even in a circumstance where they did have a little time before Yom Tov. But again, considering the fact that they were preoccupied with their tumah for a good amount of time prior to Yom Tov, even though it lifted immediately before Yom Tov, but maybe the heter would be extended to this individual as well. That's the question. Amar Lei, we're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we are towards the top of the Amud. About 10 lines from the top of the Amud.
Thank you.
Amar Lei Tanina, so he says to him, it's a braiso. Kol Eilu Sha'amru Mutarim, Legalech B'moed, so B'shalo Hayalem Penai. So the Gemara's answer is very clear, and that is only when we're only talking about the case where there simply was no time allowed, provided prior to Yom Tov. So Ava Hayalem Penai Asurim, but if there was some extra time prior to Yom Tov, meaning in all the cases in the Mishnah, right, you were incarcerated, you were released from prison, or all the other examples in the Mishnah, if you were released prior to Yom Tov, so then you're not afforded the heter. Nazir umetzara afa pishayon panai mutarim. However, says the Braisa, that's in all the examples given in the Mishnah, with notable exception to Nazir umetzara. When it comes to Nazir umetzara, even if they were lifted, they were released, so to say, from their status of being a Nazir umetzara, and even if it was before Yom Tov, and even though they had a little bit of time prior to Yom Tov, they still are given the opportunity to go ahead and to shave and get a haircut and do laundry during Chol HaMoed. Now, why? Why should that be? Meaning, why should a Nazir and a Mitzvah be different than any of the other cases in the Mishnah? In all other cases in the Mishnah, the Gemara is saying very clearly that if they were lifted, if they were released prior to Yom Tov, so they are not afforded a heter. And meanwhile, when it comes to Nazir and Mitzvah, they are afforded a heter, even though they had time prior to Yom Tov. That's hard to understand. So the Gemara acknowledges, yeah, but there's a Svara. For the Nazir and the Mitzvah, there's an extra Svara. What's the extra Svara? Shelo Yishu Karbonoseihem. Because what they have to do now in order to conclude their Tahara process is they have Karbonos that they need to bring. So the Nazir has a series of Karbonos, three Karbonos that he needs to bring at the conclusion of his Tahara process. And Mitzvah also has got three Karbonos that they need to bring. We're not going to go through all the Karbonos right now. Anyway, it suffices to say that they have Karbonos that they need to bring. And in bringing their Karbonos, part of the process in order for them to bring their Karbonos is to go through a shaving process. And so, if there isn't an allowance for them to go through the shaving process, they're not going to be able to bring their Karbonos. And anything which is going to be delaying their Karbonos is a mitigation. It's a consideration in terms of extending the heter to them, even in areas where others are not extended the heter. So basically what the Gemara is telling us is that they have an extra consideration. Unlike all the other people mentioned in the Mishnah, where if they had time prior to Yom Tov, so they're not given a heter on Chol HaMoed itself, fine. Meaning because, very simply, because they had time before Yom Tov. But when it comes to the Nazir and Mitzvah, because there's also a carbon consideration, and that carbon consideration is connected to Giluach, so therefore they're given an extra heter, even though they had time prior to Yom Tov, and they should have done so prior to Yom Tov, but because of the carbon consideration, so therefore their heter for them is going to be even if they had time prior to Yom Tov. Okay, Tana. Hakohen va'alva mutar bigulach. Okay, the Bryce over here now is going to be giving us a number of other people who are going to have a heter in order that they can get a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed. One is going to be the Kohen and the other one is going to be the Avel. So they're mutar bigulach. On Chol HaMoed, they're allowed to be megalech. Okay, so the first thing we're going to be discussing is the Avel. It's a little bit funny, by the way, because the Bryce presents Kohen and then Avel. And then the order of our discussion right now in the Gemara, it's going to first be Avel and then Kohen. I don't know why the Gemara did that. Normally the Gemara goes in the order of the Braisa. Regardless, we're going to start with Avel over here. And before we start with Avel, so I'm going to share with you things we already know, but nevertheless are just critical in terms of understanding the upcoming Gemara. So let's go over some basics. When a person loses one of his seven relatives, so he is right now an Onain. And that status of Aninus will continue and extend until the point of burial. At the point of the burial, he transitions from being an Onain out to being an Avel. Right, upon walking away from the cemetery, so that is going to be his first moments of being an Avel, and he's an Avel for 7 days. I'm not going to go through all the halachas right now. You'll see, I'm just giving a general outline so that we are going to understand and appreciate the Gemara upcoming. So he is an Avel, and during Avelah, so there are a number of restrictions. In fact, there are 13 in total, 10 Isurim, 3 Chiyuvim, we just discussed this the other day in the Daf, in terms of when you are an Avel for those 7 days. After 7 days are over, so there is still going to be another series of days, 30 in particular, in which you are going to be observing some of the practices of Avelos, and that's what's called Shloshim. Now, as we all know, so the truth of the matter is that Shiva and Shloshim really overlap one over the other, meaning that when you're observing Shiva, you're also observing Shloshim. It just happens to be that all the practices of Shloshim are subsumed within Shiva. Shiva has more restrictions. Shloshim has significantly less restrictions. But nevertheless, there's what's called Shiva and there's what's called Shloshim. And Shloshim really, the Shiva is subsumed within Shloshim. But those are the two stages of Avelos post-burial. 7 days of Avelos and 30 days of Shloshim. Okay. Now, for one's mother and father, there's also going to be Yud Beis Chodesh, but we are not going to be discussing that now, as that now is not the... it's not relevant to our particular discussion, but just acknowledging that, and I know we all know this, that there's 12 months for after having once lost either one's mother or one's father, but that's for another occasion. Okay, so there's Shiva and Shloshim. Now, we also know the following. We know that if a person is sitting in Shiva and approaching a Yontiv, so we know that the Yontiv goes ahead and overrides and supersedes the Shiva. In fact, more than that, it actually just simply cuts the Shiva off. Wherever you may be in your days of Shiva, even if you're just one day into your Shiva, and the next day is Yontiv, so that's it. So Shiva for you is only going to be one day of observance. Now that's what Yontiv does. Yontiv goes ahead and knocks out Shiva. What about Shloshim? Your Shloshim continues. Shloshim extends. We're going to be learning this later in this perek, but I'll just simply say now, what if your Yontiv encounters Shloshim? Meaning you're done with Shiva, now the Yontiv encounters Shloshim. So what does the Yontiv do to Shloshim? Same thing. It goes ahead and it knocks it out. So whatever day you're up to, if you're encountering a Yontiv, so it's going to knock off Shloshim. We will be discussing later on. So let's say you have the first day of Sukkot, and then Shemini Atzeres. So is the first day of Sukkot going to knock out Shiva, and Shemini Atzeres is then going to knock out Shloshim? Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that later in our very parak. We don't have to figure that out right now. But anyway, good. So those are the basic halachas. The Gemara is going to be discussing that very question later on. Okay, it's a perfect question. We're going to be discussing that. The Gemara will be discussing that later on. In addition to that, there's one more piece of halacha that we need to know before we can appreciate the upcoming Gemara, and that is the following. On the actual seventh day of Shiva, so we have a general principle of Mixas Yom Kekula, which means that you just simply need to observe part of the seventh day, and it's as if you observe the entire seventh day. That's the principle of Mixas Yom Kekula. We touched on this idea earlier, and now when we're talking about Shiva, it's going to be one of the primary places in Shas where we discuss this idea of Mixas Yom Kekula, that part of the day is considered like the full day. So on day number 7, so after the morning is concluded, after generally speaking, the minhag is after davening, but after Shacharis, but whatever the case is, it's just a little bit of observance of Shiva in the morning, and that's it. Now Shiva is over. Which now means what? Meaning on the seventh day, so you're really, the truth of the matter is you're done with Shiva, and now on day number 7, you're starting your Shloshim. right? In that one day, you finish Shiva and you're starting Shloshim. And again, I know when I say start Shloshim, Shloshim really begins from the Kvura, but in terms of how to organize it, how to categorize it, so we push Shiva and Shloshim into two separate categories. Okay, that is just some basic information. I know we all know it, but I'm just setting it up so that we can appreciate the Gemara upcoming. With that stated, hi, Avo. What did we learn together in the Braisa? In the Braisa, if it happens to be that your Avelis is now going into Yontif, so what are you allowed to do during Chol HaMoed? So you're allowed to shave and get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Because you're an Ones going into Yontif, and so therefore, like all the other categories of our Mishnah, if you're an Ones going into Yontif, so Chol HaMoed, you're afforded a heter. In the Braisa, we're learning exactly that point. That because you're an Ava going into Yontif, so as a result of that, now you're given a heter to go ahead, shave, get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says, okay, I hear. Now let's think about it. Let's see if we can actually plug that in. So hi, Avel. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's be really specific, because up until now, we've just been talking generalities. Specifically, what do you think that means? So what is it now? It's day 8 going into Yontif, meaning that Erev Yontif is your day 8. So if your Erev Yontif is day 8, so the Gemara says, well, we know what's going to happen. Yontif is going to go break. Now, what is Yontif breaking right now? Well, you're done with Shiva. So Yontif is now going to break your Shloshim. Now, the lifting of Shloshim does not occur upon the actual entrance of Yontif. The way it works is that Yontif is going to break it just a little bit earlier. So that means to say that you have time prior to Yontif to go ahead and shave and get a haircut. So therefore, if we're talking about your day 8 is going into Yontif, you shouldn't be afforded a special heter. Once again, the special heter is only afforded to those people who literally had no time prior to Yontif. And therefore, on Chol HaMoed is their first opportunity to shave and get a haircut. But if your day 8 is Erev Yontif, you do have an opportunity. Because Yontif, again, breaks your Shloshim. The breaking of the Shloshim occurs a little prior to Yontif. So you had time. So the Gemara says, so that can't be the case. So, Ibai Leluguche Erev Regal. Ela, Chashmini Shalolios B'Shabbos, Erev Regal. So the Gemara says, okay, so what must be the case? The case must be where it is, Yontif is a Sunday, obviously the day before Shabbos, and Shabbos represents to you day 8. Aye, so what are you going to now argue? You should be getting a haircut on and shaving on Shabbos? Obviously, you can't. It's Shabbos. Right. So now your only opportunity is going to be Friday. So what's the story now vis-a-vis Friday? Well, Friday's day 7. Okay, so, all right, good. So, Ibaile Leguche, Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so you should be getting a haircut and shaving on Erev Shabbos. Now, why should that be? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, Halacha Kavashol. So the Halacha falls like Abishol. Now, the Sheet of Abishol, we have not yet seen. It's coming up later in this perek, and that is, Abishol is the one who subscribes to the idea of Mixas Yam Kekulo, which means now that what? Since Friday for you was day 7. Remember, the particular scenario that we're looking at is where day number 8 for you is a Shabbos. The next day is going to be Yontif, which means that Friday is day number 7, meaning your last day of Shiva. So, and if we subscribe to Abishol, what does that mean? Well, what just happened now is that day number 7 is Friday. We also say, because Abishol is of the position, Mixas Yom Kekulo, which means that on Friday morning already you're out of Shiva, and now already on Friday you start your Shloshim. So you start your Shloshim, and now we could just simply project a little bit forward. Meaning now what happens is that you're in your Shloshim. We know Yontif is coming up. Yontif is coming up Motzei Shabbos. And we know Yontif is going to go ahead and break the Shloshim. And so now already on Friday afternoon, obviously Motzei Shabbos, you simply have no time to shave and get Erica, but already Friday afternoon, where you start a Shloshim, and we know Yontif is upcoming, so therefore prior to Shabbos, you now should have a heter to go ahead and to shave and get a haircut. Once you have that heter to shave and get a haircut prior to Shabbos, once again, you simply no longer have a heter to do so on Chol HaMoed itself. And not only that, but we're going to even go a step further. And the truth of the matter is that you don't even have to be the position of Abishol. Meaning, if you subscribe to Abishol, so then zicher, it would be mutter. meaning, let me be clear about this, it would be mutter to shave and get a haircut prior to Shabbos, which means that it would be usher to do so on Chol HaMoed. But even if I subscribe to the Chachamim, now the Chachamim are not open to the position of Mitzvah Yom Kekulo. But even according to the Chachamim, in this particular case, it would be okay. Why? Because consider, Friday is the seventh day. Shabbos is his eighth day. Now again, there's a technicality, which is on Shabbos, of course, you're not allowed to shave and get a haircut. But in other words, but there will be an observance, a post-Shiva observance of one day prior to Yontif. So even according to the Chachamim, even though you don't subscribe to Mixas Yom Kekulo, but understanding that there still is a day of Shoshim that will be observed prior to Yontif, so even they're going to allow you to shave and get a haircut prior to Shabbos. And so therefore, once you have time, even according to the Chachamim to do so, so once again, you're no longer given a heter on Chol HaMoed to go ahead and get a shave a haircut and get a haircut. So basically, the case that we've constructed does not afford us an opportunity to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So once again, the question on the table is, the Braisa says an Aval can get a shaven hair, get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. We're looking for the case in which, how did he go into Yontif? If he went into Yontif having finished Shiva and started Shloshim, so then Yontif will have broken the Shloshim. The breaking of the Shloshim is done prior to Yontif, which means you have a chance to do so prior to Yontif. And once again, you no longer have a heter on Chol HaMoed. So what's the case of the Braisa? So the Gemara says, Lotzricha, Shechal, Shvi Shelo Lios B'Shabbos, Ereva Regel. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do now is basically set up the same scenario where it's going to be a Shabbos going into Yontif, but as far as where you're holding in your Avelus, Shabbos is day number 7. Okay, so you started your Shiva on Sunday, and now from Sunday to Shabbos now, so you're in Avo. So now your Avelus is on day number 7. When are you getting up from your Avelus? On the morning of. Morning of Shabbos. Now, morning of Shabbos that you get up. So now, what is now this situation according to the Braisa? So what the Braisa will tell you now is that because you did not have an opportunity prior to Yontif to go ahead and get a shave and get a haircut, you therefore have a heter to do so on Chol HaMoed itself. So far, so good. Now, here's what the Gemara wants to try to explain. That's the Braisa. Go back to the Mishnah, the opening of the third parak. So did the Braisa give the case of Avel? The answer, of course, is no. So, the Braisa gave us a heter and extends it to an Avel. Our Mishnah did not include an Avel. So what's the Nekud HaMachlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa? That's the very next point of the Gemara. And yes, we're assuming that we're talking about this specific case over here. Once again, it's Shabbos going into Yontif. Shabbos now is his seventh day of his Avelos. What's the machlokus between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The Gemara goes on to explain, Tana Bura, as far as the Braisa is concerned, so Savala Kabashol, Damre Mixas Yom Kekula. So Yom HaShvi, Olo Lo Lekan Lo Kan. So the Kevan, the Shabbos Havai, Anusu. So as far as the Braisa is concerned, so the Braisa subscribes to the Shita of Abashol. Abashol says that Mixas Yom Kekula, which means that day number 7 is what? Is both Shiva, it's the end of Shiva, and it's the beginning of Shloshim. Ah, so you now know going into Shabbos that you will, we're just projecting, you will be observing Shloshim going into Shabbos. We also know Shabbos we also know the next day is Yontif. Yontif is going to go ahead and break the Shloshim. So now that we know all that going into Shabbos, so that means that Tana Bura, that as far as the Brice is concerned, so now you are considered an Anus. Being that now you're considered an Anus, so therefore you're allowed to shim and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Tani Didan, as far as our Braisa is concerned, that's our Mishnah. So Savala Karabanan, Da'ami Lo Armina Mixas Yom Kekulo. So Akati Lo Shalom Avails to Shiva. And once you don't subscribe to the principle of Mixas Yom Kekulo, so what does that tell you? That tells you that prior to going into Yontif, you simply were not lifted from your Shiva. Meaning that the only thing that Yontif now is going to be breaking is Yontif is going to be breaking Shiva. What does that mean? It means that now that you're into Yontif, so Shiva's done, but you're still observing Shloshim. Huh. And if you're still observing Shloshim, so you can't get a haircut, you can't shave. Because one of the Nehugim of Shloshim, again, Shloshim is going to be a limited number of Nehugim, but one of them is not getting a haircut, not shaving. So during Chol HaMoed, you are going to still be practicing Shloshim. So that's the Tana, that's Tana Didan, that's our Mishnah.
But he couldn't take a shave before.
Yeah.
The 7 day was Shabbos.
Correct.
So at the end of Shabbos, it's automatically the Shloshim.
Nah.
So he had no chances of.
I understand. But the Gemara, the way the Gemara is setting it up, what is Yontif breaking? It's either one of two things. It's one possibility is it's breaking Shiva, the other possibility is breaking Shloshim. So if I subscribe to Mixas Yom Kikulo, so now on day 7, which is both his 7th day and it also happens to be Shabbos, so once you subscribe to Mixas Yom Kikulo, so then it's break, what is Yonta breaking? Shloshim.
Right.
Okay, so why don't you shave before Shabbos? You can't. Because going into Shabbos, you were Novo.
Yeah,
okay, good. So now in Chol HaMoed, now you are an Ones. So you had no, and Shloshim now is broken. So now you can go ahead and you can shave. That's Tana Bura. Tana Didan does not subscribe to Mixas Yom Kikulo. Once Tana Didan does not subscribe to Mixas Yom Kikulo, so what is Yontif breaking? Yontif is only breaking Shiva. It's not breaking Shloshim. So that means now going into Yontif, Shiva was broken, but Shloshim is still there. And once Shloshim is there, you can't get a haircut. You can't shave. That's the way the Gemara sets it up. Doesn't matter. In other words, categorically, they're viewed as two separate observances. Even though you're right, the Shloshim, when you're observing the 7 days of Shiva, so you are concurrently also observing say the seven days of the Shloshim. I'll tell you what. We need to go on. Yeah. I'm very sorry. I'm here afterwards, and we'll go over it more afterwards. Anyway, that's the way the Gemara presents the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Why the Braisa allows I'm up to the next case already in my head. Why the Braisa allows the Yavel to go get a haircut during Chol HaMoed when he finishes going into Yontif, and why the Mishnah does not? We're going to move on. So hi Kohen, hechi dami. So as far as the Kohen is concerned, so what exactly is the case of the Kohen? Meaning the Braisa allows the Kohen as he's going into Yontif to go ahead and shave and get a haircut. What exactly are we talking about? Which Kohen? What ones was he encountering that did not allow him, did not afford him the opportunity prior to Yontif, and now Chol HaMoed? This Kohen can now go ahead, shave, and get a haircut. Who are we talking about? Good, that's the Hechidami. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Ilema Dishal Mishmato Erev Regel. So maybe he finished his Mishmar on Erev Regel. Now we're assuming over here that where the Kohen's preoccupation lies in the fact that he is currently on duty. So as we discussed in detail back in Masechta Tanis, we spent a lot of time discussing it, and that is the work schedule of a Kohen. In terms of doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so he's on call for 1 week out of every 24 weeks. In other words, all the Kohanim are broken up into 24 Mishmaros, and each of the Mishmaros are going to be working in the Beis HaMikdash for an entire week from one Shabbos to another. That doesn't represent, I've said this before many times, it doesn't represent his full work schedule, meaning outside of that, he has other responsibilities as well. We're just talking about in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Avoda. So that Mishmar now is for 1 week. So what we're trying to now construct is what is the scenario in which he's going to be so busy and so preoccupied that he is now called an Ones going into Yontif, and therefore he's going to be given an opportunity to go ahead, shave and get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case is as follows. So, Dishalim Mishmato Erev Regel. That means to say that Yontif falls on a Sunday, and again, he works from Shabbos to Shabbos. Oh, so the Gemara suggests, we have the case over here. So his Mishmar happened to have concluded right before Yontif, on the Shabbos, immediately prior to Yontif. Yontif that year was a Motzei Shabbos. And during the Mishmar, he was not given any opportunity to shave and get a haircut prior to his Mishmar. And that's why he'll be allowed to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So, Ibai Lelugluche Erev Regel. So the Gemara says, well, if he knows now that Yontif is coming, because everybody knows Yontif is coming, so why not get a haircut and shave on Erev Shabbos? So I understand he's right now currently involved in the Mishmar, but so what? In other words, during Mishmar, you're doing the Avoda, but you're also, you have some free time. Okay? So, lo tzricha, deshal mishmarto beregel. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where the week of his mishmar is Yontiv is the Thursday of the week of the Mishmar. Because if you recall, and if you remember, so when was the Kohen allowed to get a haircut and shave during his Mishmar, the Chavah Shabbos? That's Thursday. So the Gemara is suggesting now that maybe what we're describing over here is that the week of his Mishmar, so Yontiv comes up on a Thursday. That the day in which he was afforded the heter to shave and get a haircut for Shabbos. And so now, maybe that's the scenario over there. And that would be considered an ones. Now, the Bryce is telling us that in that scenario, the Kohen is allowed to shave and get a haircut during Chol HaMoed because he falls under the category of ones. Once again, we're noting that in our Mishnah, it's absent, meaning the Mishnah does not give us the example of Kohen. And once again, for a second time now this morning, so the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The Mishnah does not list a Kohen, meaning we're assuming the Mishnah knew this scenario, and the Mishnah did not give him a heter. And the Braisa, looking at this very scenario, says, hey, yeah, that's a case of Ones. So what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa?
Is all the serving during Chol HaMoed also for Mishnah?
Hold that very thought. So Tana Didan Savar, Kevin Didan. So the Gemara says, now, as far as our Tana is concerned, meaning the Mishnah, so look, let's go back to a Mishnah and Sukkah. The Mishnah and Sukkah says that the Bishlosha Prakim Mishana, three times a year, meaning during the Yantiv, during Regal. So how you call Mishmar Shavas be Muri Haregalim? So Uvichiluk Lachem upon him. So who's working during the week of the of Yantiv? And the answer is everybody. Meaning on Yontif, every Kohen now is going to be coming from every Mishmar to the Beis HaMikdash in order to do the Avoda. The Imurim of Yontif, so are going to be divided amongst all the Kohanim. Lechem Apanim is going to be divided amongst all the Mishmaris. So, Kemandalo Shalom Mishmato Beregel Dami. So that means to say now that this particular Kohen, who happened to have been working that particular week, so even though now Yontif is coming up on a Thursday, so the way our Mishnah views it is Kamandalo Shalom Mishmato Beregel Dami. We do not view it as if his Mishmar is concluded on Yontif, meaning he's still going to be divided amongst the other Kohanim. And Vitana Barad, now as far as the Brace is concerned, Savar Avagav Deshach Bahanach Mishmaros. Yes, it's true that now he's incorporated with all the other Mishmaros. But nevertheless, Mishmarte Miyashamalei. But as far as his Mishmar's responsibility and obligation, that is considered as if it's terminated. And therefore, we're going to view it as if his Mishmar now has concluded going up to and into Yontiv, which means that he was an Ones, and therefore he's allowed a Heter to go ahead, shave, and get a haircut prior to, I'm sorry, on Chol HaMoed itself. Okay, so basically now it becomes a question of how to view the conclusion of his Mishmar. Is the conclusion of this Mishmar going to be viewed as he just simply did not have an opportunity up until and including the end of his Mishmar, or no? In other words, that it still extends with all the other Mishmars. Okay? And that's how the Gemara sets up the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Okay, so far this morning, right, we still haven't gotten to today's daf. Oh, that's great. So far this morning, we spent a lot of time, but it quite frankly, a complicated discussion in terms of learning the Braisa together. The Braisa taught us that a Kohen and an Avel are, in fact, allowed to get a haircut and shave on Chol HaMoed. Our Mishnah does not agree, because our Mishnah had opportunities to describe every person who's got a heter. Kohen and Avel didn't make the list of our Mishnah, so we spent time doing a considerable amount of time is going through where what's the scenario, why the Braisa allows that scenario, and for both a Kohen and an Avel to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, considering them to be an Ones prior to Yontif, why the Mishnah, looking at the very same scenario, does not consider them to be an Ones going into Yontif, and therefore is not afforded the heter. Good. That's what we've done up until now. Tana Rabbanan. We are in Yudzayin Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and let's move. Kol Eilu She'amru Mutar LaGalech B'Moed Mutar LaGalech B'Mei Evlan. Everyone we described is given a heter to go ahead and shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Also, if that same circumstance were to come during his Avelus, meaning Avelus is also a week.
Right.
And if, let's say, he was an Ones prior to his Avelus, any one of the examples that we had in our Mishnah, so therefore he's also going to be afforded a heter to shave and get a haircut during his Avelus as well. That time the Gemara says, okay, I hear that, but on the other hand, we have another Braisa. and that is asurim. So the Braisa says very clearly that it's not mutter, but rather it's asur. So what we have now is a steer between two Braisas. One Braisa says that all the scenarios of anus in our Mishnah not only would give an allowance for Chol HaMoed, but also would give an allowance for Avilas as well. And the Braisa, another Braisa says no. So Amrav Chista, Amrav Shila Kitanya Hacha, B'tachvu Evalav. So as far as the second Braisa is concerned, second Braisa was talking about where you had successive Avelos. Okay, Rachmanus. The person was an Avel, and as he was getting up from his Avelos, so he lost another one of his Zayin Krovim. So now he's looking at back-to-back Avelos. Okay, so under those circumstances, so there's a clear understanding now that a week of Avelos is difficult. Two successive weeks of Avelos is really difficult on many different areas, on many different issues. But most notably in terms of the amount of hair that's being grown at the time. So under those circumstances, so for the second week of Avelos, so there is in fact going to be a heter. That's what the second Braisa was describing. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So e betachvu avelav miria kol elishamru afilu kuleyama. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So you're telling me that we're talking about successive Avelos, and under those circumstances, now he's afforded a special heter. The Gemara says, even if there is no other mitigating circumstance. In other words, you don't have to introduce any other scenario, right? He was released from prison or any of the other examples. Meaning just by virtue of him having successive Avelos, isn't that going to be enough heter? So the Yamai Iriya Kolei L'Shamra, Afilu Kolei Alma, Nami, Detanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. We're going to see this Braisa a couple of times over here in our parak. Tachfu Evalav Zecher Zer, Hichbit Zaro, Mekal Betaro, Umechabit Ksusa B'mayim. So the Gemara says that if a person has successive Avelos, so now, presumably during that second week of Avelos, even though any kind of grooming is prohibited generally for an Avel, and any kind of laundering is going to be prohibited for an Avel, nevertheless, for that second successive week, so he has a heter. He can lighten his hair with a razor, meaning not shave with a razor, but just simply cut the extended hairs, trim it with a razor. Now, trimming with a razor is strange. Exactly. Meaning that's exactly the point. Meaning that you are allowed to trim, but with a shinui. And you can wash your clothing in water. Now, that's strange. And again, same response. Exactly. Meaning you could do laundry during that second week, but with a shinui. But with the acknowledgement that it's the second consecutive week of Avelos, and that's very difficult. And so therefore, the Chachamim relax the rules a little bit. So the Gemara says, Amar of Chista. Rav Chista just makes exactly the points that we highlighted, that when given allowances during that second week, so it's with shinuyim. So Am Rav Chista zos ameris avel also betach boses, and an avel is not allowed to do laundry. I mean, by virtue of the fact that we gave a heter for the second consecutive week of avelos to launder, so we can work backwards and we can learn from there that an Avel is not allowed to do kippus. I know we already established that earlier, but from the Braisa, we have another Raya that an Avel is not allowed to do kippus. So basically what's coming out over here is the following. The one Braisa that says that during that second week of Avelos, Kishetachvu Avelov, so he's already given a heter, so that part's true. But the heter is only trimming with a shinui and laundering with a shinui. What does any one of the examples of our Mishnah add? Meaning, let's say he was incarcerated or any of the cases of the Mishnah. And then what he does is that he goes into Avelos after the Ones. And then he's got a successive Avelos as well. So because now there's another consideration, i.e. any of the examples of our Mishnah. So now he's not only allowed to trim and get a haircut and trim and do his laundry, but he's allowed to do so presumably in the normal fashion. Because now you have two considerations. One, it's consecutive Avelos, and two, you have the onis factors of our Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, kishem shamru asa legalech b'moed, kach asar litol tzipar naim b'moed, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So now, the discussion continues in terms of, we know that during Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to cut your hair, right? That we learned on the Mishnah. Again, notable exceptions we've been discussing since the Mishnah, but now as we're about to start today's daf, so what about fingernails? So are you allowed to cut fingernails? It is going to be a machlokes hatanaim, whether or not you can cut your fingernails during Chol HaMoed. Now, as far as pshutas, I'm just going to get very straightforward as far as in terms of What would be the consideration? Well, first let me finish the brisa. That would be good. Rabbi Yossi matir. So, and Rabbi Yossi says it would be mutter. So despite the fact that by cutting hair, there is no discussion to be had, again, with notable exception, so you're not allowed to cut your hair during Chol HaMoed, but during Chol HaMoed, there's a machlokes tanaim in terms of whether or not you're allowed to cut your fingernails. Now, the svara pshuta would be, that for Rav Yossi, who allows cutting your fingernails during Chol HaMoed, yeah, your fingernails are just simply going to be more irritating, meaning you can easily go a week, we can all go a week without getting a haircut, without shaving. Okay, for people who shave daily, it's definitely uncomfortable to go a week without shaving, but in other words, but that's something which is doable. On the other hand, to go a week without cutting your fingernails, so it's just, it's more irritating. The fingernails just grow, I mean, whatever. It serves as a more of an impediment to your general happiness and welfare. And ukeshem shamru aval also legalech. And the Gemara says, and same achlokas regarding avelos. During that week of avelos, so again, you're not allowed to cut your hair, that's a given. Are you allowed to cut your fingernails? Once again, machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Amar Ula. Halachika Rabbi Yehuda ba'alva, v'halachika Rabbi Yossi b'moed. So Ula has a really interesting position, which is that when it comes to avelos, we're going to be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, and when it comes to Chol HaMoed, we're going to be mekel like Rabbi Yossi. Now, of course, that's interesting because right, everyone could probably intuit what I'm going to say. Chol HaMoed is the Araisa. Avelos is the Rabbanan. So, and we're going to be more machmir by Avelos than we are going to be by Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's why it's interesting. Anyway, that's the Shita of Ula. Shmuel Amar, as now we turn to the top of Yerches Amad Aleph, Halacha Rabbi Yossi b'Moed of Avel. So now, the Halacha, according to Shmuel, is like Rabbi Yossi, both in the week of Avelos and also in the week of Chol HaMoed as well. De Amar Shmuel, Halacha Divrei HaMeikel ba'Avel, because we have a general rule that the Halacha is going to be following Divrei HaMeikel when it comes to Avelos. This is the first time we're hearing this line in this Perek. Get ready. We're going to hear this a number of times in our Perek, and that is a rule of the Gemara attributed to Shmuel, which is that when it comes to Avelos, and there's a machlokas, when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, so halacha kedivrei hamekel, we're going to be following the more lenient position. The easiest way to explain this, and a number of Rishonim explain it this way, the Ramban at the front end, and other Rishonim as well, is that Avelos to begin with is a din derabanan. The practices of Avelos are a din derabanan, and so therefore, when you have a machlokas in Hilchos Avelos, so to begin with, since Avelos is a rabbinic institution, so therefore you can be mekel whenever you have a legitimate position that tells you that you can be mekel. It's a din derabanan. We're going to be mekel by din derabanan. That's the easiest way to explain it. Some Rishonim do not take that approach. Some Rishonim take a different approach. Anyway, for our purposes right now, I'm looking at the time, so we're going to just leave it off with that very basic explanation. Pinchas Achud Amar Shmuel, the Gemara now is going to be discussing more on this topic of cutting your fingernails during Avelos. Well, the truth of the matter is that right now on the table are Avelos and Chol HaMoed, but right now we're going to be talking about Avelos. Pinchas Achud Amar Shmuel, Itre Beimilsa. Pinchas, brother of Amar Shmuel, so he was an Avel. In other words, and obviously we're talking about, it was the death of someone that only put him in Avelos and not his brother in his Avelos, but there are a number of circumstances in which that could be. In this particular case, let's say it was his son, right? Rashi, not the Rashi on the, anyway, Rashi Ksavyad makes that suggestion. His son died and he is now an Avel, and his brother's not. So, Shmuel Lemishol Time Aminei. Shmuel comes in to be Menachem Avel. Okay? It's an unusual expression of the Gemara, Lemishol Time Aminei. By the way, Rashi here understands is basically he's going to speak to his heart. Okay? In other words, he's going to console, or at least attempt to. Chazin L'Turfa Davin Efishin. Okay, so as far as the how did the Shiva visit go? So it didn't go so well. So he sees his brother and the fingernails are really long, and so he makes a comment about the fingernails. Your fingernails are really long. So Amarle Amaylo Shalkitalu. So he says, no, you know you can cut your fingernails. So Amarle Ibidi Dehava Mi Mizazalta Bekulehai. So he says to his brother, look, if you were novel right now, would you be this makeover in your Avelos? Okay, so as I pointed out, so the Shiva visit could have gone better. Okay, anyway, so have a kishka gashiyos milifnei ashalit. Now, there's a general rule throughout Shas, and here we see it on display, and that is be careful of what you say. Even if you didn't mean anything by it, But if you made a statement, so there's always going to be a koach to whatever statement it is that you make, which is just, by the way, as far as the Musar is concerned, it means that we have to be even more careful about anything that comes out of our mouth. So over here, he said, now he didn't mean anything bad by it, but he said, if you were an Avel, dot, dot, dot. So that statement had koach and the Isra Be'emos B'Shmuel. So Shmuel now lost a Karov, and Shmuel now is standing Avelos. And again, his brother didn't mean it, but he did say it. So Al Pinchas Uchula Mishal Tamimineh. And so now, and during the Avelos of Shmuel, so Pinchas' brother is coming in to pay a Shivakol. Shaklin Tufrei Chavit L'Apeh. And what he does is he takes his fingernails, in other words, he cut his fingernails, and he threw it at his brother. And Chavtin L'Apeh Amar Lei Leis Lach Bris Krusel Esfasayim. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Minayin Shabris Krusel Esfasayim. Shenemar Vayomar Avram El Naro Shulachem Po Ima Chamor. Vani Vanar Neelcha Adko Vinisha Chaveh. Vina Shuva Eilechem. So when Avram takes Yitzchak and says to his, let's assume like Rashi, it's Eliezer, it's Yishmael, and he says to the people going with them, look, this is as far as you're going to go, because Yitzchak and I are going to go, we're going to bow to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to come back. Now, by virtue of the fact that he said, we're going to come back, so obviously he didn't know that, meaning he thought he was going to go and shecht his son. And he thought that he was the only one coming back, but he did say, Vinashuva. Okay, so the Gemara's understanding is that Vinashuva, that's Bris Krusa, Lisfasayim. The idea that he said it, there's a koach to what you say. Now, it happens to be over here, it's Latova. In other words, it was a positive. But still, the idea works in both directions. It works Latova, it works Lera'a. You say something, there's a koach to that which you say. And so what Shmuel was so upset with his brother is, you should have known. Meaning, even though you were offended by me suggesting you cut your fingernails, but for you to have said, if you were an Avel, so you should have known, you shouldn't have said that. And Vistaya Milsa, Dehadur Tarvayu. Sorry, I should have finished the sentence. And because Avram Avinu said that we're going to come back, so that created Siyata Dishmaya. In other words, there's a koach to that which you say here as well. Shmuel reprimands his brother. You should have known that. You should have realized that there's a koach to that which you say. Okay. That ends that story. Anyway, the Shmuel allows for one to cut fingernails during your Avelos. So Savramine, so when the Bnei Yeshiva hear this heter of Shmuel that you let you cut your fingernails during Avelos, so diad in the regalo. Yeah, not all your fingernails, meaning maybe just the fingernails of your hands, but not the fingernails of your, not your toenails. And again, a svar pshuta in terms of making a distinction is that you can go for a week without cutting your toenails. You can go many weeks without cutting your toenails, but now I'm getting into my own personal hygiene, and let's keep that out of the duff. So the but anyway, but you can, but when it comes to your hands, obviously it's unsightly. So that's what they thought. So the Gemara says, "Amar Avana Bar Techlif Lididi Mefarsh Leminei DeShmuel Lo Shana Diav Lo Shana DeRegel." So, but then the Gemara goes and clarifies, "No, when Shmuel gave a heter to cut fingernails during Avelos, it's not just fingernails; it's toenails as well." Amar Avchia Barashi Amar Rav Uve Ginustara Aser. Even though there is a heter to cut fingernails during Avelos and on Chol HaMoed as well, but not with Ginustara. Ginustara. So you and I call clippers. In other words, right, scissors, but basically any form of clippers, that would be usher. And that's the way Rashi presents it. Huh? How is he going to do it? Right? I'm not recommending it, but the Gemara is basically saying you need to use a shinui. You have to use your teeth. So, Amar Rav Shem Bar Abba Hava came to come to Rav Yochanan Bei Midrasha. So I was together with Rav Yochanan in the base medrash b'chol shomawei v'shaklin tufrei b'shinav v'zarkino. So I saw him cutting his fingernails, but when they say cutting his fingernails, he was biting his fingernails. And I know that's something that should not be promoted. But in other words, but on chol shomawei, the idea is that it needs to be done with a shinui, at least according to Rav Chia Bar Ashi, Amarav. And the Gemara now is citing that Rav Yochanan also, he only allowed cutting his fingernails on chol shomawei. Now, by the way, we're bouncing back and forth between Chol HaMoed and Avelos, but okay, right now it sounds certainly from the Gemara that the halachas are going to be totally zebezet, meaning that if you're Rav Yehuda, it's also legamre. If it's Rav Yossi, it's mutter, but even within the sheet of Rav Yossi, which we're following, but nevertheless, it still has to be done Ayidei Shinui, and presumably Shinui is both for Avelos and for Chol HaMoed. That's a simple way to read the Gemara. Right now, we'll just keep it with the simple way. So v'shaknin l'tufer b'shinu v'zarkinu. So Rav Yochanan, so what he would do in Chol HaMoed is that, yes, he would cut his fingernails off, but with his teeth, and he would throw them. Shema min atlas, 3 points to walk away with. Number one, in fact, the halach is like Rav Yossi. You're allowed to cut your fingernails on Chol HaMoed. That's number one. Number two, Shmamina ain behem yishum mius. The fact that you cut it with your teeth, so that could be understood as a mius. That's something which is disgusting, not appropriate behavior for a Talmud Chacham. Point number two is that no, it's not considered mos. And number three, Shmamina mutal zarkan. You're allowed to throw them. So Rav Yochanan threw them in the base measure. You're allowed to throw them. So the Gemara says on that third point, let's litigate that third point. The Gemara discusses, Ini, so as far as your fingernails are concerned, your cut fingernails. So proper disposal. So if you bury them, you're a tzaddik. If you sorf and chassid, if you burn them, you're a chassid. And zork and rasha, but if you just throw them out, so then you're a rasha. Tam am I? So the Gemara now is bothered, obviously. Rav Yochanan, so which category is he falling into? You would think either one of the former categories, certainly not the latter category. And meanwhile, his behavior is that he threw out his fingernails. And that obviously bothers the Gemara. How can that be? How could he do that? So the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, well, no. So the time am I, well, why? In other words, why, according to the Brisa, if you're Zorik, are you going to be put into the category of a Rasha? Is that Shematav or Alam Isha Ubravita Vitapil? So Isha Be Majrasha Lo Shchicha. So the Gemara's answer is that with the concern in terms of throwing away your fingernails is it may disgust. Who is it going to disgust? So is it going to disgust another guy? No. So, but it may end up disgusting a woman, specifically a woman who is carrying, and it may disgust her to the point where it's going to serve as a potential threat and danger to the fetus in which she's carrying. So under those circumstances, since you're putting a woman in harm's way, her and her fetus in harm's way, so for that reason, you're going to be considered a rasha. Where was Rav Yochanan at the time? He was in the Beis Medrash. And in the Beis Medrash, so women aren't in the Beis Medrash. Okay, good. So there's no longer a concern. So this is one of the examples. We have a number of them, but this is one of the examples where on one hand, we have a brisa that gives an isser. On the other hand, there's an explanation. Once you understand the isser, so therefore you can limit the isser based on the understanding. Now, is that always true? The answer, of course, is no. That's not always true. Meaning there are numerous times where there's a gzera, and even if a tamadavra is given, but we just assume that that's one explanation, but there is a host of other explanations. Over here is one of those examples where there's an explanation, and this is the explanation, and as a result of that, the halacha will be able to be maneuvered based on the explanation. Okay, and how do I know when it's the explanation versus it's just one of many explanations? Good, that's where I end, and we're just going to continue. The Gemara says, and maybe over here, even in the base medrash. So you know, there are people who come and sweep the base medrash, right? So what's going to happen now is that these fingernails now are going to be removed from the base medrash. And where do you think they're going to go? So they're going to be taken out. And so the Gemara says, and now shouldn't we be concerned under those circumstances? The Gemara says, no, kevin di ishtani. No, it has gone through a shinui. And somehow, some way, not really sure how, Rashi over here is not precise in terms of explaining why, but because it went through some sort of shinui, so therefore it no longer poses a threat. It's no longer a nezek. Am Rav Yudam Rav ba chamsam lifnei Rebbe umar zutra masne zug ba mechamsam lifnei Rebbe uvikshu mimenu tziparnayim. Okay, two different versions in terms of how the question was formulated, but anyway, so they asked regarding fingernails, what's the status of fingernails? They hit the lahem. In bikshu mimenu safa, hit the lahem. And now we kind of sensed that, in other words, we asked regarding the cutting of fingernails on Chol HaMoed, and the answer is mutter. And if we would have asked regarding trimming the mustache, so he would have said mutter as well. Shmuel amar im af bikshu mimenu safa, hit the lahem. Now, according to Shmuel, it wasn't that we projected. Actually, we did. In other words, we asked both regarding the fingernails and regarding the extended mustache, and in both of them, he said that it was mutter. Let's continue for now. Amar avitol safra mishmei de either Rav Papa or the Rav. So safa mizavas zavis. During Avelos, so there is a heter now that if your mustache is growing too long, so you're allowed to trim it. So that is going from one corner to the other. Amar Rabbi Ami b'safa ha-me'akeves. According to Rabbi Ami, that is only the hairs of the mustache that are going to interfere with your eating. Amar Nachma Yitzchak li didi k'safa ha-me'akeves damili. Rabbi Nachma Yitzchak says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm an istinus, and so therefore any hairs that are anywhere around the mouth are considered something which is going to interfere with my eating, and so therefore he felt that he has the heter to go ahead and to cut them. Now, once again, by the way, the Gemara, because the Gemara conflated both Avelus and Chol HaMoed, so it's fair to ask, and it's not perfectly clear in the Gemara, is this heter now for Avelus? Is it also going to be for Chol HaMoed as well? So again, I leave that question open-ended, but from the Gemara itself, it sounds contextually that right now we're just talking about Avelus, but that point is not perfectly clear. Amar Avital Safra Mishmei Derav, so Paro Shayabi Mei Moshe, so as far as Paro is concerned, but not just any Paro, but specifically the one that was during the days of Moshe. You know, we famously call him Paro, but Paro is just, of course, a name nondescript that describes any leader of Egypt. And there were many Paros, historically, for hundreds and hundreds of years. However, we're talking about the one that we describe generally as Paro. Bimei Moshe, so hu ama, zkanu ama, u parmashato, ama vizera. So he had very unusual proportions. He was in height an ama. He was, his beard was an amma long, and as far as his aver zachar is concerned, so it was an amma and a half. Elakai mashenemar ushval anashim yakim Allah. Now that is going to be mekayim the pasuk in Daniel. That is ushval anashim, like a really low individual. So he's going to rule over you, right? I would say that he had a Napoleon complex, but probably historically more accurate, Napoleon had a Paro complex. Anyway, okay. It's Agarata having nothing to do with what we're discussing, but same Baal Memra, that's why it comes in over here. Eilo mechapsim b'moed habam in Medina Sayam. Okay, we are going a little bit over time right now. I want to get up to the Mishnah on the next Amud. In fact, that's going to be our goal. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishein lo, Ela chaluk echad mutar lechapso b'chol shamoed. So this is a point that we made earlier in the Masechta, and we get to see it again in today's daf. Moed kat in Yud Ches. And that is somebody who has only chaluk echad, who only has one article of clothing, so he is allowed to do kivas on chol hamoed. Despite the fact that he's not included in one of the heterim of our Mishnah, but nevertheless, in other words, it's understood that circumstantially he's in a position right now where he wants to wear clean clothing and he only has one article of clothing, and so therefore he's afforded a heter as well. Meisav Rabbi Yirmiyah, Elu Mechapsim, Memoed, Abam, Medina Siyam, So Hani, and Mishein Lo, Allah, Chaluk Echad Lo. And so what the Gemara now points out is a really simple diuk, and that is, it didn't make the list of our Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah seems to be giving a comprehensive list of people who were allowed to launder during Chol HaMoed. And this person did not make the list of the Mishnah. So the Gemara now wants to know, if this heter is legitimate, so why didn't it find its way into our Mishnah? So Amar Le Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah Asver Lach, Af Agav Di Islei, Trei Umetanfe. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, so what's the heter in our Mishnah? So these people in our Mishnah are described to have an Ones going into Yantiv. And so therefore, they didn't have an opportunity to launder going into Yantiv. Therefore, they can launder on Yantiv. And you know what they could do? They can launder two articles of clothing. And presumably, what the Gemara means by that is, they can launder all their clothing. Meaning, they simply were not in a position where they could do it before Yantiv. And so therefore, given their heter. Over here, we're talking about where you can only launder one article of clothing. Now, it's funny, because that's why there's the heter. Because he only has one article of clothing. But that's exactly the point, meaning the heter only extends based on his circumstance that he only has one article of clothing. He can launder only one article of clothing. Meaning once you're doing the laundry anyway, so throw in, now for him, he doesn't have any other clothing, but maybe somebody else can throw in clothing. That's exactly the point, meaning the heter for him is only going to be for that one article of clothing. Shalach Rav Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Gira Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Kli Pishta Motel Chatzim B'chol Shamoed. So as far as your linen clothing is concerned, so you can allow to launder them during Chol HaMoed. Now, the Gemara is very comfortable telling us that there is a special dispensation in terms of washing your linen clothing on Chol HaMoed, despite the fact that, as we've learned since the beginning of our perek, there's an Isser Kibbutz on Chol HaMoed, but for linen clothing, there's going to be more of a heter. Now, what the Gemara does not tell us is why. Why is there a heter for linen clothing? Okay, so as you can imagine, so the Rishonim are going to be discussing and, quite frankly, debating this very question in terms of why there's a special heter to wash your linen clothing. The way the Rambam presents it is that the linen clothing just are more susceptible to becoming dirty. They're just they attract it a lot more. Okay, for the Rambam, it makes a lot of sense why this Gemara over here immediately follows the Gemara in terms of a person who has Chaluk Echad. meaning he has chalak echad, like what, in other, this is his only article of clothing, and so therefore he's given a heter. So for the Rambam, the heter now of the linen clothing kind of follows really well, it fits in just contextually. Okay, anyway, the Rambam's not the only way to present it, but for now, that'll be our presentation. So mutl chazim b'chol shamoed meizav rava mit b'chos yadayim mit b'chos hasaparim. So honey in klei pishon lo. So the Gemara says again, we're just going to go back to our Mishnah because the Mishnah seems to extend the heter of what you're allowed to launder, and then just reading the Mishnah, so that's it. Meaning the Mishnah sets the limits of what you're allowed to launder, and you saw that the Mishnah did not include klei pishon. So if you tell me you're allowed to launder klei pishon on chol hamoed, so why isn't it in the Mishnah? So Amar lei, Abaye masis and afilu d'sharmine. So he says that as far as Abaye was concerned, so when it comes to our Mishnah, so the our Mishnah is talking about hand towels and the like that are made of non-linen, meaning they're made of some other material. So that's what the Mishnah is describing over there. But enechinam, if you're talking about linen, so it's just simply the reason why it's not in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah was talking about all materials. But once you're talking about linen, so what, the linen has a special heter. Amar bar hijul didi chazuli yamashal tveria demafkele machshile demani kisne. So he says, look, I was by Tveria, and it happened to have been a cholam. I'm sorry, right? Demani kisna bichol demuada. So it was a cholam oed, and I see plenty of women with their baskets and they're laundering their linen clothing on cholam oed. Okay, so I see many people helping themselves to this heter. So Maskev l'Abaye, so Abaye says, I'm very happy you saw that. Good, and so the women are laundering their clothing. And it's Chol HaMoed. That's wonderful. I'm going to ask a really simple question. Okay, right. Okay, good. Everyone guessed. So Maskev l'Abaye, so Man Leim Alan B'Ratzon Chachamim Avdei, Demashla B'Ratzon Chachamim Avdei. Okay, so I see the practice, but does the practice necessarily mean that it's correct? Okay, maybe not. In other words, if you're hearing the base measure, if you're hearing it b'shem and amara, that's one thing. But just to see it done in practice, maybe not. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Well, tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's just do a quick recap of today's daf. First part of today's daf, we started all the way back in Yizayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah gave us the heterim of people who are in a state of ones and therefore allowed to get a haircut and launder on chol hamoed. So then the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa says, I'm going to add two more people to the list, an Avel and a Kohen. Now, that those two did not make our list. So the Gemara spent a good amount of time, Yizayin Amud Beis, going over what's the scenario and why does the Braisa, under those circumstances, say would be mutter. The Braisa views the case of Avel and Kohen as the case of Ones. And again, I'm not, even the summary, I'm not going to go through all the details, but basically he was a Kohen doing the Mishmar, or an Avel and his Avelos up to Yantiv, and for reasons which we're not going to go through, it's really detailed. For reasons which we're not going to go through, the Braisa considers that to be a case of Ones, therefore heter extended for them to launder and get a haircut in Chol HaMoed. And meanwhile, the Mishnah does not view them as a case of Ones, again, without going through all the details right now, and therefore that's why they did not make it into our Mishnah. The Gemara in the bottom, Yizayin Amud Beis, goes through the cutting of fingernails, meaning cutting a hair is Asur and Chol HaMoed, and during Avelos as well. What about the cutting of fingernails? Is that going to be mutter or asur? Machlokes hatanayim between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is a machmir, Rabbi Yossi is a mekel. And now, as far as the halacha is concerned, machlokes amara, I'm exactly where we're going to stand in terms of the halacha. Shmuel says that both for chol hamoed and for yantiv, sorry, for both for chol hamoed and for avelos, so we're going to be mekel. That was the sheet of Shmuel, especially when it comes to avelos, where halacha kedivrei mekel when it comes to avelos. So the Gemara told the story on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, regarding whether or not people will afford themselves this heter during Avelos, right? An unfortunate story between Pinchas and his brother Mar Shmuel. And the Gemara noted also from the story that you got to be careful about what you say, even if it was an unintended statement, but every statement has got a koach to it, and you just simply have to be careful. But the reason why the story comes up over here is because it had to do with cutting of the fingernail. In terms of the extent of this heter of cutting your fingernails, is there a difference between fingernails and toenails? The Gemara discussed. The Gemara ended up concluding that there is no difference, that you're allowed to cut both. And then the Gemara says, but it has to be done b'derech hashinui. Is that both during Avelos and during Chol HaMoed? From the simple pshat, the Gemara would seem to be both. Okay. And then, last thing that we discussed over the course of today's daf, is that the heter also for somebody who has one article of clothing. So he's allowed to do laundry in Chol HaMoed with his one article of clothing. If you remember the Gemara earlier, didn't come up in today's daf, the Gemara earlier wondered, if he's doing laundry in Chol HaMoed, so how are people going to know? So if you remember the Gemara earlier, Ezur Mochiach Alav, which means that while he's doing the laundry, so he's basically, you're right, for lack of a better term, he's not wearing anything right now. Now, of course, he's wearing something. Right, he's wearing some bathrobe. But in other words, but people could clearly see that this is his only article of clothing. He's extended it out there. The Gemara wanted to know, why didn't that make it into the Mishnah? As long as the Mishnah is going through all the examples of people who have a heter. And so the Gemara says, because for such an individual, so he only has a heter to launder this one article of clothing. Mashenkin, all the people in our Mishnah who are in a case of Ones, they can launder all their clothing. And finally, another heter, which also didn't make its way into our Mishnah, is the linen clothing. You're allowed to launder linen clothing on Chol HaMoed. Again, according to the Rambam, it's really delicate and it's really sensitive to getting dirty, and therefore you're allowed to launder it on Chol HaMoed. I didn't make it into our Mishnah. Seemingly should have made it into our Mishnah. So the Gemara goes on and explains why we didn't see it in our Mishnah. The women around Tveria, so they would launder the linen clothing. That's a raya. The Gemara says maybe not. Meaning, yes, they did so, but no, they may not be a raya.